This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Good evening and welcome to Who's Talking on a snowy, icy, sleeting, sort of a scary, wintry day. And hope everyone out there is driving safely if they have to be out. If there's no need to go out, I would strongly encourage that you not go out. The roads are treacherous. All right, this is co-host Frank Maloney, and I've got Robert Fish, a longtime broadcast veteran from the area and best known maybe perhaps for his days behind the mic for the old Richmond Braves. So we welcome Robert into the studio tonight. He's subbing in for my co-host, regular co-host, Jim Hobgood, a.k.a. Hobbo. He's in Charlottesville tonight. At John Paul Jones Arena, and in just moments, Hobbo will call in and give us his boots on the ground from JPJ as the Wahoos get ready to tangle with those Wolfpack maniacs from NC State. And so welcome, Robert.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Good to be here, Frank. Those will be frozen boots tonight, probably.
I would think so.
From up there in Charlottesville, maybe a little more snow than we got. I know the areas up north got pounded pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's crazy how certain parts of the greater Richmond metro area got more snow than ice, and others got more ice than snow. One thing's for certain, from what I could tell, VDOT did a great job around the highways and so forth. The secondary roads were a little challenging, and I hope, quite honestly, that the city and the counties come through tonight and tomorrow, because it's going to refreeze tonight, and it's going to be a little scary. And actually, this is the scenario for black ice, and people have heard rumors that it's going to warm up. Well, it may not warm up till noon tomorrow, at which point, you know, morning drive time could be pretty hairy.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a scenario like what we saw, you know, a couple days ago, where we wake up and find out everything is frozen and it's locked up again. But, you know, if you're out and about tonight, like you said earlier, just be careful. If folks are on their way to the game, a little extra time, obviously it's going to tip at 7. But when you get up there, just be careful walking around. I think there's some different parking arrangements maybe due to the conditions up there, maybe some shuttle buses. So check out websites ahead of time and see what information you can find out.
Absolutely. Wow, what a weekend in basketball and all the other sports for the Wahoos in the ACC. UVA had a sort of a mini roller coaster week. Very impressive win early in the week on Tuesday night against the Hokies. As I explained to some friends, I felt like order was restored in the rivalry. They took care of business. They really kept Virginia Tech at bay throughout the game and won going away, and really never allowed Tech to get going, to say the least. And to Coach Buzz Williams' credit, the coach at Virginia Tech, I thought he summed it up beautifully in postgame, recognizing that Virginia was playing the kind of basketball that they knew that the Hokies would have trouble with going into the game, and they got exactly that. However, the game on Saturday night was that was difficult to swallow. The Cavaliers fought hard throughout the game, really played with a lot of backbone and guts. And, you know, they struggled, at times with that really harassing defense that Duke plays. And by the same token, Virginia's defense was outstanding, particularly in the last 6 or 7 minutes. And you know the defense is great when the opponent can't make their free throws because they've had to scramble so hard to get open to get the ball, and then they had to fight so hard to get off a shot. And when they get to the line, their big stars shot badly at the line and really opened the door and gave Virginia a chance. And Robert, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a little bit, as I think I mentioned to you beforehand, you know, everybody focuses on what happened at the end of the game. And obviously that wasn't, you know, a great scenario certainly there for what happened with Virginia. But my thing is, if you go, and how many times have we seen it? And I've been down to that building many times. And you mentioned Duke's defense. In that building, it seems to be different. They thrive off of whatever enthusiasm is going on in there, and they play a lot better defense in that building. But to me, if when you go there, you got to take care of business and make sure you're up by three or more in that building. When you get in, to avoid anything that could happen in that scenario.
Yep.
And you got to be up by three or four or five.
I would say more like 5 to 7 points. And
that's not easy, but that's the way to take care of that scenario.
That's what they've got to do. And Virginia did not do that. They had opportunities to score the ball in those last 2 minutes. And Darius Thompson had a wide open look from the left side. And unfortunately, he couldn't get that ball to go down. There were a couple of other shots that I'm sure the Wahoos would like to have back. As it was, Brogdon made a brilliant first catch on a very late pass by Shayok on a fadeaway. Shayok fadeaway from the foul line and just drilled a pass to Brogdon, who was curling under the baseline. He caught it and went up with his back to the basket and laid it right in the square for the go-ahead basket. Unfortunately, there was almost 10 seconds left on the clock. Duke was able to dribble to midcourt, get a timeout. And 6 seconds is a long time to play defense in the ACC. All right, Jim Hobgood is holding for us, and we welcome our my co-host, who's up at John Paul Jones Arena tonight to cover the NC State game. So, Hobbo, welcome to Who's Talking from Afar.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. You know, Robert Fish, you know, I'm starting to feel like Wally Pipp.
You don't have anything to worry about there, Hobbo. You're in good shape right now.
But although I did tell the people down in the press room I had to come up to the media area to call my own radio show, but I said, may be the best guest we've ever had. You never know.
Well, one thing's for certain, we've got the big man in the arena. Tell us what your thoughts are about the game, and what are the keys for Virginia, Hobbo?
Well, I guess the key is pretty simple, trying to figure out a way to at least contain Cat Barber. You know, it'll be interesting to me to see what Tony does from a defensive standpoint. I think if I was Tony, I would go with Devin Hall, Mariel Shayok, and Darius Thompson trying to guard Cat Barber to try to make sure London and Malcolm Brogdon don't get in foul trouble. But clearly, Cat Barber, they call him Cat because he's quick as a cat. He's very difficult to guard off the dribble. He has been a challenge for everybody all year long. And, you know, like every ACC game, it's a challenge. And North Carolina State, in my opinion, is a lot better than their record would indicate.
You know, speaking of Cat Barber, having seen him play in person last year down in Raleigh at the PNC Arena, you know, I kept remarking, why don't they just give him the ball on every possession and let him break down the defense? Because almost nobody can stay in front of him. So he can force the defense to commit someone to help the ball defender, and then somebody's open. And I think for Virginia, they've got to be very careful that none of the Martin brothers get open. And Roland, that I think he's a freshman, that guy can shoot from the outside. Yeah. Robert, what do you think?
Well, I kind of agree with what Hobbo was saying there and what you guys are talking about. And what I was going to ask Hobbo was, you know, before this recent defensive resurgence by Virginia, we've seen the Hoos be a little bit vulnerable to teams that set up on the perimeter, particularly the Miami game comes to mind, and penetrate from the perimeter or cut from the perimeter. And Barber seems to be that kind of guy who can hurt you off the dribble from the perimeter. So that's going to be the key as to how Virginia is going to handle that tonight.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that's kind of unique about Virginia is Malcolm Brogdon is not only the best offensive player, he's also the best defensive player. So last week when Virginia played Virginia Tech, he started on Seth Allen. My only concern about putting Brogdon on Cat Barber is the foul situation, because you don't want to get Brogdon a couple of quick fouls where you have to sit him down for 10 minutes in the first half. But it'll be interesting to see how they do try to defend. And Frank is right. You know, the Twins, among others, that state has some guys that can make perimeter shots. So, yeah, this game, you know, North Carolina State, was it last year? I think they came into this building and gave Virginia all they wanted. So, you know, it's, you know, respect all, fear none. And it'll be interesting also to see how Virginia responds to the disappointing loss on Saturday, coming back just a little more than 40 hours later.
Well, you know, Virginia had a 7-game win streak going into Cameron, and you're right. How will the team's psychology, how will they respond following that nail-biter loss? My guess is maybe the guys are kind of pissed off. I wouldn't be surprised at all, Hobbo, if Virginia doesn't come out and play with some intensity that maybe folks aren't used to seeing, maybe less businesslike and a little bit more emotion. And I'd like to see some emotion from Anthony Gill, personally. He disappeared during the Duke game.
Yeah, they're going to need to because, you know, of course, they have a week off. They don't play again until Miami next Monday night, which Miami's undefeated in the league at home. So that's a huge challenge. And then after that, of course, they come home for North Carolina. So the schedule, it doesn't get any easier, and it's hard to believe we're down to 5 games left in the regular season for the Hoos.
And, you know, just to sort of tally up those games, Virginia has NC State tonight at home. Then they travel to Miami a week from now. Then they're return home to host ACC frontrunner North Carolina, which has now been announced as a 6:30 tip-off on Saturday the 27th. And then on March 1st, the Hoos will travel to Clemson, which is no easy place to go. And that actually is going to be played in Greenville, South Carolina, at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. And then the Hoos return home the following Saturday, March 5th, to host Louisville. And, you know, that game is going to be brutal. And then, of course, you've got the ACC tournament the following week, up at the Verizon Center. So
yeah, so the schedule, it's very challenging. And, of course, Louisville is senior night, which is always an emotional night, and particularly this year with Brockton, Toby, Nolte, and Gill, 4 seniors that have contributed a great deal over their careers here at Virginia. So, yeah, first things first, though, NC State tonight, you know, and if you look ahead at the ACC schedule, Duke plays Carolina on Wednesday. That's always a special game. And I was also looking here. Syracuse, who is playing better, plays Louisville at Louisville. So, I mean, as you know, the interesting thing about the league this year is almost every night there's a game that has implications, significant implications on the standings.
Oh, certainly, because the seedings right now as they stand – tonight, prior to the game, is Carolina is the number 1 seed. Notre Dame is the 4 seed. Miami is the 2 seed, and UVA is the 3rd seed. And it's crucial to finish in the top 4 seeds because you get a 2-day bye in the ACC tournament, and then therefore you only have to win 3 games to win the title. So
right.
It's a big deal. Hobbo, what's the mood up there in John Paul Jones Arena?
Well, the students are here. You know, a lot of the older folks, or I shouldn't say older, the non-student seats are not filled yet. I guess we're still 37 minutes away from tip-off. You know, the trip over here from Richmond, I came middle of the afternoon. The roads were not terrible, so I can't imagine the weather is going to be that much of a discouragement from people from coming out. So I would certainly hope that by the time we get closer to tip, we're going to have a full house and a crowd ready to root for the Hoos.
Well, I think it's going to be a huge game. I have the expectation that NC State is smelling an opportunity for an upset, and Virginia better have their helmets on to start this game because you don't want to let Cat Barber and those Martins get off early and get comfortable. Virginia's got to get on top of them, Hobbo.
Yeah, I mean, State, you know, their overall record is 13-12, and, you know, they're only, what the heck, 3-9 in the ACC.
Yep.
But I just think their talent level is a lot better than that. And they're a very dangerous team, you know, not only tonight, but depending on how it works out in the ACC tournament, that could be a tough draw for somebody in the ACC tournament. I would mention one thing before you all let me go. I did come over for the baseball press conference, and one thing of interest to the Richmond area is the number two starter this weekend is Daniel Lynch, who's a freshman from Douglas Freeman High School.
That's
so,
right.
So the Richmond area continues to contribute significantly to the Virginia baseball program, which obviously is looking forward to another banner year.
You know, the number four in the nation UVA men's baseball team is traveling to Myrtle Beach at the end of the week. First game is Friday against Kent State. Then they'll play Appalachian State and then Coastal Carolina. So that's an interesting group of teams that they'll be facing. And I think that's exciting that Lynch is going to get a chance to pinch so early in his UVA career. And Lord knows, I think he committed to Virginia when he was about 14.
Let me throw a footnote into that.
Yeah, Robert,
both Jack Gerstenmaier and Daniel Lynch were on a Tuckahoe Middle School team that I had an opportunity to help work with and coach some as when I was helping out over there. So I've had an opportunity to work with both those guys.
My God.
I didn't mess them up at all.
My God, they let you work with young people? That's a shocker, Hobbo.
Yeah, and of course, Connor Jones is the number one starter, and he will pitch the opener versus Kent State on Friday. At any rate, they had several players, and just Coach O'Connor and the players, very, very impressive. The people that are alumni and fans of the Virginia baseball program should be very proud. It's a great group of people.
Well, they've got a lot to cheer for. As defending national champions, this is going to be a lot of fun watching Coach O'Connor try to rebuild the team, if you want to call it that. All right, Hobbo, we're going to let you go.
One quick question. What happened to your main man, Brian Bolin? He lost a tennis match today.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. It's interesting. Virginia actually led in the match 2-0. So it's kind of surprising that they would have won the doubles point, and then they won the first singles match off the court was number 5 singles, and then after that, everything went to heck in a handbasket. But
broke the 140 consecutive ACC match streak. So they'll have to start another one.
Yeah, you know, sooner or later it had to end. It's a shame that it happened in the ITA National Indoors. All right, Hobbo, we're going to jump to break. We thank you for your report and have a good game. All right.
Yeah, you guys have a good show, and Frank, Robert. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Hobbo. Thanks.
Take care, Hobbo. All right. That was Jim Hobgood from JPJ. We're going to head to break. When we come back on the other side, my man Robert Fish and I are going to talk some more about UVA basketball. Later in the show, we have former UVA power forward Yuri Barnes calling in to get his perspective on this year's season. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.